Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 295 main event for the light heavyweight title. Jiří Prochazka taking on the former middleweight champion, Alex Pereira. So, I mean, what do we expect from this? It's going to be chaos. I'm hoping it's going to be predominantly striking, but what we might get is a little bit of Pereira learning from Glover Teixeira and knowing that there are takedowns available against Prochazka, especially because there's a lot of chaos in the Prochazka game, which, you know, might be, I mean, to be honest, one of the best people that that Pereira could train with or fight to prepare him for is Israel Adesanya. I mean, the variety of Prochazka's game is really the most problematic thing, because he flows through range and he throws a variety of different things that don't always make sense and they don't always come from the angles that you would expect, but they can be very, very dangerous, especially at 205 pounds with the momentum that he travels through range with. He's a very interesting problem to deal with. Now, Pereira, as we know, he stands quite high on that back foot, but he's very much in like a broad Muay Thai kickboxing stance. He's not quite Muay Thai. He's not weighted on his back leg. His back leg is primed and ready. He is halfway into all of his strikes already because of that back foot, which makes him overbearing when you're standing in front of him. Prochazka on the other side is very kind of side on, long stance, switches his stance, steps through range quite quickly and well. These are all things that Pereira will benefit from taking space away from. Did that make sense? Benefit from taking space away from. It will be beneficial for Pereira to take away as much space from Prochazka as he can, just so he's not dealing with that randomness, right? Squeeze him up against the fence where even if he is switching his stance, he's doing it in a small space on the floor. Instead of giving him all the space of the octagon to allow him to kind of crusade from one range to the next and switching his stance and throwing random stuff, like, if I'm Pereira, I want to use my aggression to contain this chaos. I want to kind of be on top of him and making sure that wherever he goes, I'm giving him something to think about, whether it's a low kick or a nice power hook around the side of his guard, working constantly into his midsection to make sure that he's not traveling through in that center line with a flurry of punches coming from weird angles. It's the chaos and the randomness and the unpredictability of Prochazka's game that's going to be most problematic for Pereira. If he's fighting someone that stands in a normal stance and throws punches in a normal direction and has the same kind of setups and patterns that he has, or that most kickboxers do, he has an advantage because he's trained to deal with that. What Prochazka brings is a skill set that Pereira is not trained to deal with in the kickboxing ring. Certainly there are a lot of attacks that he uses, but even just a random example that has just popped into my mind. You remember one of the best one rounds of heavyweight chaos that we've ever seen was Andrei Arlovsky against Travis Brown. And one of the most consequential punches in that was Arlovsky throwing his cross and missing and swinging the same fist back and hitting him with the back fist. Like, he did that a few times, and That's not something that you necessarily are going to see in the kickboxing ring, and it's not something that Pereira is going to be as conditioned to dealing with. But that's absolutely the kind of thing that you're going to expect from Prochazka. He might throw a cross and go straight into a spinning elbow. He might throw a cross and then dart off into a different angle and come back in with a power cross from the other side. Like, all of these things are going to be benefits for Prochazka to maintain that chaos, maintain that mobility in front of Pereira's lead foot, so he's constantly having to turn and face him and deal with whatever's coming from that angle. One thing that I was very impressed with Prochazka was, although we did see him vulnerable to takedowns, and it was Glover Teixeira, of course, who is one of the best MMA grapplers around. Although it does seem like there are going to be takedowns there, even available for Alex Pereira, although he doesn't have the same kind of skill set as Teixeira, I do feel like he has the size and the physicality and the mindset to have learned those things from Teixeira in the build-up to this. I do feel like Pereira is going to be able to get takedowns if he chooses, but I also feel like Prochazka's scrambling ability could be very problematic, because it's all good and well taking somebody down, but if that person then reverses and puts you in the bottom position, how is your scrambling back to your feet? Like, it's almost like you have to learn both sides of the same coin. You can't just go, right, I'm a good striker and I'm going to work takedown defense and I'm going to work takedowns to ground and pound. Like, if that was Pereira's mindset, that would potentially work for a lot of people. But with someone like Prochazka, who can scramble the way that he can, that can reverse himself, get into top position against someone as good as Glover Teixeira, that also means that in order for Pereira to take on that part of his game, he has to then learn all the defense and the scrambling, the safe scrambling back to his feet, the separating from guard, so he's not got Prochazka reversing position and holding top position and working. That could be a miscalculation if Pereira feels like he's going to be able to take him down and hold him down, because he might find himself losing rounds even though he's winning the takedown exchange. It's something to think about, because like if I'm Pereira and I'm watching Prochazka, I'm thinking, well, I can take some of that chaos away by taking him down and controlling him. But then I have to consider what I'm going to meet if I do take him down. And Prochazka is very chaotic on the ground as well, but he has a good mind for scrambling to top position. And when he gets there, the diversity in his striking and the feet, the sharpness of his elbows, etc., is just as dangerous on the ground. So that's something that would maybe deter Pereira from taking him down. I didn't do Taylor the Tape, did I? Let me do that. So unlike the co-main event, these guys have got a bit longer average fight time. Both of these guys we know can fight into the trenches. Pereira with his kickboxing experience as well as his newfound MMA experience at the top level. I mean, he's only 8-2 compared to 29-3-1 for Prochazka. But then, like, Pereira's predominantly the striker that he was in kickboxing anyway, so he's had a lot of time to refine those skills against what you could argue are more refined strikers than he's meeting right now, aside from potentially Adesanya. But this is again where Prochazka can prey on that, because he's a different striker to what he will have most likely experienced. 29-3 with one draw for Prochazka, 1-inch height advantage for Pereira, 1-inch reach advantage for Prochazka. Much of a muchness. We know that Pereira is going to put himself in striking range because he's got a confidence in that wide guard that he uses. And that lead leg is always ready to just kind of be picked up and flicked out at his opponent. And I mean, he's just a very dangerous person when he's on your front foot, which means that it's going to be Prochazka that's going to be forced to find the space in the octagon, find the angles that he can attack from. Like, he would have to hurt Pereira to put him on the back foot, I feel. If Pereira's backing up and allowing Prochazka to run the show, then it's like that immediately is a bad idea for game plan, because then you're giving the guy that needs a lot of space to work a lot of space to work. The more you squeeze him up against the fence, the more you're containing that chaos, and the more you can kind of judge where it's going to be when you throw your strikes. Which, of course, if you're Alex Pereira, you know that if you touch somebody one time with a clean shot, you're going to put them down. And I do expect him to be able to hit Prochazka quite clean. It's just whether he gets tangled up and caught with something wild in the meantime. Okay. So significant strikes landed per minute. Slight advantage for Prochazka, but again, Pereira needs a lot less, I would say, to do the same kind of damage. Striking accuracy leads towards Pereira, which it makes sense, and he's got an 11% advantage in defense as well. I mean, the thing is with Pereira, not only can he take a hell of a shot, but he's very, very difficult to get to. And Prochazka has to be prepared for, too many P's in this, one thing that he has to be prepared for is landing on shins and forearms and even on his head and not having an effect. He needs to kind of think about playing the long game, which is another thing to consider in those opening rounds when Pereira comes out and starts smashing his lead leg. We know how effective low kicks can be, calf kicks. If Jiří loses one of his legs to one of those kicks, he's really backed into a corner, because it takes away his movement. It allows Pereira to walk him down and beat him up when he's squeezed against the fence. And if he is taken down, scrambling is going to be very difficult as well. I mean, you need to be able to get both your feet underneath you to get back to your feet. And if Pereira's done enough damage in that first round, he could undermine Prochazka's whole game before it even gets close to the championship rounds. So that's something else that you have to consider with Pereira is, you know, like trying not to accumulate too much damage early on. A very challenging individual to fight, let alone to try and figure out how to beat. Okay. So regarding the grappling, I think we're going to see some grappling in this. I do. I fully expect Pereira to want to show more of his MMA game. I feel like he's gonna feel safe in the clinch and strong in the clinch. And I feel like he's got real life experience from Glover Teixeira that he can take and plug into his game. This worked. This didn't work. If you find yourself in this position, don't let him do this, etc., etc. He Glover Teixeira can build Alex Pereira into a position where he's far more well-equipped to beat Jiří Prochazka. And the Prochazka-Teixeira fight was a really, really good back and forth. I didn't expect it to end like it did. I even watched it back last night, and like you can hear them in the commentary where they're like, "Nah, I don't think he's got it." Oh, he's got it. It was like it kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, they both gave a lot in that fight, and they both showed a lot of themselves. And although Teixeira spilled a bit of blood in that fight of his own, he's also absorbed a lot of information from Prochazka, which he can just download into this younger, bigger, scarier, more powerful, more technically proficient striker, and you know, kind of reclaim his belt in an indirect way. I could sit and kick this fight around in my head quite a lot, and you know, maybe in the new year we'll get onto this live stream thing so I can chat with you guys a bit more about it, and then you can give me questions and I can ask you questions, and we can have a bit more of a back and forth. I do want to get that started in 2024, but this is one of those fights where I'm just kind of patiently sitting on the sideline and trying to learn as much as I can about both of these styles and what works and what doesn't work about them. They're both very different, both very intriguing fighters, both have a different kind of presence as well, and a different kind of intensity, right? Like, yeah, a different kind of intensity. I don't know how better to put that. Like, Pereira seems like someone I would have met in a Muay Thai gym, and he would have just dominated the mat. Jiří Prochazka seems like someone I would have bumped into when I was training with the monks in China, and he would have been the guy in the clearing training on his own 14 hours a day and didn't really speak to anybody. And there were a couple of those people in China when I was out there, and Prochazka would have quite easily fit into that category. But there's something intriguing about both of those individuals. And I don't know what's best or worst for MMA. I mean, you know, I'm kind of going off on a bit of a tangent here, but like I was watching the Sean Strickland fight, fully expecting Adesanya to be able to piece him up at a distance, and we learned something about pressure in that fight. You know, that was something that was very evident. Pressure was a key to breaking Adesanya's pace and his ability to set things up. I feel like it's very much the same here. The difference is, I feel like Pereira's got a more disciplined defensive and offensive skill set when he's pressuring, and he's bigger, and he's more powerful. So I think this is very intriguing. I'm interested to see whether, you know, I'd be interested to know what Jiří Prochazka thought of Adesanya's performance against Strickland and what he would have done differently, because this could be a very similar type of fight with more power and more pressure on the line. That's a little tangent for you to consider. Anyway, enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.
Yuri's just so unpredictable, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, I could see him like catching him with like some spinning.
The thing is with Pereira, because he's so disciplined in that kind of square guard that he's got, I feel like he's very good at just kind of maintaining that, which means that anything spinning that's an elbow or a forearm is always going to hit that guard. Mm. This is where like precision striking going through the hands makes more sense for Pereira, because he does kind of stand quite high and quite open in the center line, and the way that the way that Prochazka kind of moves through range, swinging at different angles, and because they're coming from the hip and he's generating the power from his legs, like, that's a difficult thing to judge when you're trying to read where this person's coming, because you think a shot's coming around the side and it comes up the center, you know what I mean? And you think this hand's coming and this one comes over the top, and like there's a style of kung fu. It's what's it called? Like Bagua, where they like roll with their hands and strike with the backs of their fists. And it just like sometimes the way that he rolls through range and swings his fists reminds me of that. Like you see it a lot in the old kung fu movies where they'll extend full arms and they'll swing their arms through different ranges and stuff. But like there's definitely something to that kind of windmill flowing that he does with when he swings his arms. And it just, I'm trying to see it from Pereira's perspective, where you're more thinking about a jab, cross, and a hook, and an uppercut, and an uppercut. And these things are coming at weird angles, and, you know? Like, that's, yeah. Like think about the Ngannou knockdown, where Fury stepped in with a jab, cross, and Ngannou just wham, ran the side. Yuri could quite easily catch him with something like that. Like, being there on the center line, Pereira steps in and throws a jab cross, and he just drifts away and cuffs him on the side of his head with a ridge hand. You know?